Hey, good morning, everybody. Little honky tonk. Thanks to Big Ed for that music. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and we are so glad you're with us on this Tuesday. A lot going on today. We're going to talk about those 10 Russian spies that have been busted by the FBI. Are we back to fighting Russia again? And both Elena Kagan and David Petraeus seek confirmation by Senate committees this today, and we're going to talk about that as well. Meantime, the Supreme Court, of course, ruled on the right of individuals to own guns, and we'll talk about the implications there. As well as we're going to talk a little bit about, speaking about guns, two Tampa police officers have been killed early this morning in a terrible incident over in Tampa that we'll discuss. But meantime, this is Tampa Bay's only ongoing regular libertarian radio show, Freedom Works, here to champion the concept of less federal government in your life, more state and local government if need be, but mostly your right to personal freedom and personal responsibility. And we come to you Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday here on the Tantalk Network, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Also available on our worldwide website, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. You can tune in from there. You can also find out more about libertarianism and the people that helped make libertarianism what it is today, people like Ayn Rand and Milton Friedman and many others. So go over to thefreedomworks.com, find out more about it, find out if you're a libertarian, and help support our show. You can do all of that from the website. If you want to call us, our toll-free number is 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. And should you choose to write to us, you can do that. freedomworksemail@yahoo.com. freedomworksemail@yahoo.com. Well, we don't normally get into local news, but when it's this big, we do give it some attention. Two Tampa police officers have been gunned down near 50th Street and Interstate 4 in Tampa, and authorities are launching a massive manhunt for two suspects, a man and a woman. Officer David Curtis had pulled over a red Toyota Camry around 2:15 a.m. this morning because it did not have a visible tag, and then called for backup after a check revealed that the passenger, a male passenger, was wanted on a misdemeanor charge. That's when the shooting apparently occurred. And Curtis and Officer Jeffrey Kocab were shot. Kocab died immediately, and Curtis died at the hospital. So they're on the lookout. I think it's for some sort of a red car. I don't know if this will tell me about the specific car, but both people considered armed and extremely dangerous. There are IDs on both suspects. As of this story, they were not sure if that car was stolen. But whenever something like this happens, it's tragic. Now, this is the second police shooting in Southwest Florida in less than a week. Two Polk County deputies were shot early Friday in Lakeland after stopping a man riding a bike, but they are expected to recover. We're going to talk a little bit about the whole concept of individual gun rights, and I know people worry about guns getting into the hands of wrong or bad people. That seems to happen anyway, does it not? Anyway, that's a very, very tragic story. In the meantime, the Justice Department says 10 Russian intelligence officers have been arrested for allegedly serving as illegal agents of the Russian government. They were arrested by the FBI, according to court papers that were unsealed yesterday. The FBI had intercepted a message from Moscow to two of the defendants, describing their main mission as, quote, to search and develop ties in policymaking circles in the U.S. Now, intercepted messages show they were asked to learn about a broad swath of topics, including nuclear weapons, U.S. armed control positions, Iran, White House rumors, CIA leadership turnover, the last presidential election, pretty much everything, Congress, political parties. Wow. Maybe the nightlife of certain senators and administration officials, who knows? But the arrests occurred yesterday, and this can turn out to be a blockbuster spy case. I can already see Hollywood trying to figure out a movie. They say this could rival the capture of Soviet spy Rudolf Abel in 1957 in New York. Now, there's no clue in the initial paperwork as to how successful these spies have been in their work. But they posed, many of them, as couples. There's both men and women that are included in the roundup here. And they integrated themselves into society here in the United States. Now, why would Russia want to continue to find out what we're doing? We thought we had the Cold War ended. We have other enemies, but apparently Russia still is snooping around. Moscow, in the meantime, say that these spying allegations are baseless. Well, what do you expect them to say? Ah, you caught us. No, they say that this is baseless and improper, according to Russia's foreign ministry. And in fact, the foreign ministry added that this is just a throwback to the Cold War. Russian foreign ministry said in a statement, U.S. actions were unfounded and they pursued unseemly goals. The statement voiced regret that the arrests came even though President Obama recently hailed a reset in ties between Russia and the United States. And this comes just days after Russian President Dmitry Medvedev visited Washington. Would have been rather embarrassing if they announced this thing while he was in Washington. I bet they waited intentionally for Medvedev to get out of town. Russia's foreign minister also told reporters in Jerusalem that Moscow is awaiting an explanation from the United States on all of this. Apparently, Prime Minister Putin had no comment on all of this. Well, ongoing story there. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we've got David Petraeus and Elena Kagan before Senate committees trying to get confirmed. And we'll tell you all about it. Don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, we offer an exciting, independent lifestyle. It's the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips to shopping, restaurants, local theater, and so much more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy an on-site wellness program program, rehabilitation clinic, and home health services. We have security 24 hours a day, and each apartment is equipped with an emergency call response system, answered in-house by our caring, compassionate staff. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury retirement living, all with a $1 million view of beautiful Clearwater Bay. Call us today at 727-445-4069 and let us welcome you to Gracious Retirement Living, where caring, compassionate service makes the difference.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Money. It's the one thing everybody can't ever seem to have enough of. This Friday, Your Money Professors Mike Van Hornbeck and Christian Beider from J.W. Cole Financial and Jonathan Roberts Advisory Group will explore the important financial issues and challenges that we all face daily. And of course, your money questions and comments are also welcome. Your Money Professors, enlightened financial sense in a senseless world. Fridays at 11 Eastern on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us. I am Paul Malloy, and as we said, Elena Kagan and David Petraeus, both before Senate committees, trying to get confirmed. Petraeus, of course, is there to be confirmed to take over control of the war in Afghanistan, and he is saying today that the security situation in Afghanistan is tenuous and the Taliban insurgency remains resilient. He says the security situation with instability fueled by a resilient and still confident insurgency, along with tribal tension, political challenges, and competition for influence in the future. Now, he was responding to advanced questions that have been submitted to him by the Senate Armed Services Committee. That is the committee that will approve his going to Afghanistan. That's a tough war. And I heard an interesting comment this morning on C-SPAN where they were talking about, among other things, the Afghanistan war. And I thought it made a lot of sense. And that is that our initial game plan was to go after the people that toppled the Twin Towers on 9/11 and killed all of those other people in the planes and in the Pentagon. And have we lost sight of what we are actually supposed to be doing? You know, if you don't know where you're going, you never get there, right? And we have turned our attention after what occurred there into wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in general and sort of lost sight of the fact that we're just supposed to find all those people that caused the attack on our country. And perhaps we should re-examine what we're supposed to be doing. That situation in Afghanistan is like, I don't know, trying to part the Red Sea with a fork. You're just not going to do it. Once you get out of there, once you take the fork out of the bowl, the water seeps back in. And I don't know how they're going to be able to ever maintain any kind of normalcy in a country that is basically mountainous no man's land to a large extent. It's just it's almost an ungovernable situation there, probably always will be. And yet we extend time, effort, and lives over there trying to bring some sort of what we consider to be a legitimate government to Afghanistan when nobody really believes that the people that we are propping up there are much better than the ones that we are fighting. And so it becomes a situation that you really have to question whatever happened to the original idea of just finding the people that attacked us and going after them. I mean, let's do what we need to do to find Osama bin Laden and the rest of the people that were directly responsible and then get the heck out of there. Well, as we said, Petraeus is now facing confirmation. It's basically a shoe-in. And he's replacing General Stanley McChrystal, of course, who basically was fired by Obama for comments he made to Rolling Stone magazine. And the commitment, our commitment to Afghanistan and the direction of the war, that'll be what they talk about in these hearings. It's possible Petraeus could actually be confirmed as quickly as today. Just a quick sit-down, confirmation, and it's over with. Now, 2 years ago, Petraeus was promoted to head Central Command. That oversees all of the Middle East military operations. And from 07 to 08, he was the commanding general of multinational forces in Iraq. He certainly has the right background. And he takes, or they credit him for the surge in Iraq that seemed to change the course of the war. So they'll probably be sitting there and commending him for all of that. But the Senate committee will probably also use this opportunity to talk about tactics in Afghanistan and what needs to be done to get this thing over with. Now, President Obama has already said that he wants to start pulling out the troops by July of next year, just a little better than a year from now. And there'll be questions about that and whether that is a date certain, as they say. They'll ask Petraeus if he thinks that that's a date certain. He's going to say no. It'll just be the start of a pullout. But this is not really going to be any kind of situation that will tax General Petraeus in terms of having to defend his taking control of the Afghanistan war. Meantime, Elena Kagan is also before the Senate a Senate Confirmation Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it'll be a little tougher for her. Now, she gave an opening speech yesterday in which she pledged to do her best to consider every case impartially and modestly. And as she said, with commitment to principle and in accordance with law. Of course, she is seeking to replace John Paul Stevens, who has retired, on the Supreme Court. Well, she'll be undergoing quite a few questions about her policies and her feelings. But she said that the court must ensure that, quote, our government never oversteps its proper bounds or violates the rights of individuals. They'll probably ask her what her feeling is on the latest Supreme Court ruling granting individuals the right to own guns, no matter what state or local laws are that say you cannot. She went on to say the court must also recognize the limits on itself and respect the choices made by the American people. She says her past work in government and in public service has shown her that, in her words, no one has a monopoly on truth and wisdom. I wonder how open she will be to questions, though, about policy. She once said that these hearings for Supreme Court nominees were nothing but vacuous time wasters, and that they should really try to get information out on the nominees. Well, now she is one. We'll see if she changes her opinion. One of those people that is going to give her the hardest time is going to be Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama. In fact, he's the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee. He says that Elena Kagan's record warrants close questioning. He says Ms. Kagan certainly has numerous talents and good qualities, but there are serious concerns about this nomination. He noted that she has never tried a case before a jury and has associated herself with well-known activist judges. He also maintains that she broke the law when she denied military recruiters access to students at Harvard Law School when she served as dean there. She was upset with the don't ask, don't tell policy at the time, which ironically came about under Bill Clinton when she served under his administration. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham, also a Republican, has called some of the nominees' past actions a bit disturbing, along with some of her writings. And he felt that the military recruiting ban at Harvard was inappropriate. But he figures that she'll probably get selected and her nomination will not change the balance of power on the court. Then there's Patrick Leahy of Vermont. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee and a Democrat. He says, I believe the fair-minded people will find her philosophy well within the legal mainstream. I welcome questions, he says, but urge senators on both sides to be fair. He says no one should presume that this intelligent woman, who has excelled during every part of her varied and distinguished career, lacks independence. Well, she's probably going to get selected, but there may be a little bit more grilling than people realize for some of the things that she does or does not believe in. Well, there are two governors that are pretty upset right now with Barack Obama, and in both cases, it has to do with their southern borders. The governors of Texas and Arizona have criticized the administration for their border security plan or lack thereof. They say that not enough National Guard troops are being sent down to their states. Here's Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, who held a 90-minute briefing with federal officials sent over by President Obama. She said, what we heard was not anything that we hoped to hear. They wouldn't even give her, they did a PowerPoint presentation to her, by the way, and apparently wouldn't even give her the copy of the presentation after they were through. I hope they send it to her in the mail. Maybe they didn't want to have anything written down that they would have to be accountable for. In the meantime, the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, like Governor Brewer, a Republican, said the deployment to his state was insufficient to meet the needs of securing his southern border with Mexico. Now, the White House issued a statement saying that plans to deploy 1,200 additional National Guard soldiers along the border would complement the unprecedented resources and additional efforts already devoted to securing the border. Apparently, Arizona would get 524 additional troops, Texas 250, California 224, and New Mexico 72. Well, Brewer wants a total of 6,000, including 3,000 for her state, which has the most illegal border crossings. Governor Perry asked for 1,000 troops back last year. Of course, they're not getting that. And the troops that are being sent aren't even going to actually go to the border. They're going to be used to provide intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance support and backup to counter narcotics enforcement until more civilian officers are trained. Well, you know that President Obama is not going to do anything to close those borders unless he's forced to do it. And even then, it seems like he will delay it. He's not making friends with most of the taxpaying citizens of this country. The huge majority of the people of this country want the borders secured. Well, we're going to take our next break here and come talk a little bit about Al Gore. He's making himself scarce these days. How come? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So, you think all water parks are created equal? Think again. Only one Orlando water park is built to give you that high-octane double-shot adrenaline rush, and that's Wet n' Wild, where it's all about the thrills. Bigger, higher, faster, with more multi-person thrill rides than any other water park around. Where else but Wet n' Wild can you experience the mind-numbing buzz of Brainwash, the hyptronic groove of the Disco H2O, or the cosmic rush of the black hole, the Next Generation? Right now at Wet n' Wild, Florida residents can get a full day of pulse-pounding thrills for just $32 plus tax with a valid Florida ID. So if you're looking for pure exhilaration, look no further than the park named by the Travel Channel as one of America's most extreme water parks. Wet n' Wild, in Orlando, or on the web at wetandwildorlando.com.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is Shauna Vircher, letting you know that I'll be hitting the airwaves Tuesdays at noon Eastern. Join me and my guests as we give you a backstage pass to the hottest topics in the media industry, the business world, and current events. I'll interview inventors, authors, executives, and even a few celebrities to give you the real story of what's happening now and what to watch for in the future. The Shauna Vircher Show, Tuesdays at noon Eastern. The most informative and entertaining way to spend your lunch hour, and it's calorie-free.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us on this overcast, I guess somewhat sun popping out now and then in Tampa Bay. Well, Al Gore is making the news again. We not that he wants to, but as you've probably heard, there is a masseuse that claims that Al Gore wanted more than just a massage, and there may have been a connection to that situation, which was originally reported, I think, in the National Enquirer, that and his separation from longtime wife Tipper Gore. But he showed up in San Diego, the San Diego Convention Center in particular, There were human resource professionals going up in a convention there, about 11,000 of them. And Gore made a rare public appearance there yesterday. They ushered all cameras out of the convention center. They didn't want anyone speaking to him. And apparently he wasn't speaking to anybody else. He did make a speech for the convention. I'm sure they paid him well for that. One of the attendees from Arlington, Virginia, said, I thought the speech was awesome. It was over my head a little bit when he talked about global warming and some of the other issues. But as a human resource professional, I think it's key that we stay enlightened with all of the subjects. Then another one, woman from Cincinnati, she said, I thought it sounded scripted. A lot of controversy. Anyway, he wasn't talking about anything else. He just made his speech and got the hell out of there. Did not take any questions from the media. It seems like Democratic vice presidential nominees and vice presidents are having more than their share of trouble these days. John Edwards and Al Gore. But speaking about vice presidents, Joe Biden, I don't think you'd call him a great speech maker. In fact, while he was making a speech the other day, one of the people, a GE executive, literally fainted, collapsed during the speech. Guy's name was Jim Campbell. He's a CEO of General Electric, one of the appliance and lighting divisions. And while Biden was speaking in Kentucky, apparently Campbell could be seen slowly falling from his chair and off the stage. Now, Biden didn't see this as he was speaking, and this guy was literally collapsing. In fact, he was saying the words, a country that doesn't innovate stagnates. And just as he was saying that, Campbell collapsed. The crowd gasped and shouted at Biden to take a peek over there. And then Biden, of course, stopped his speech and called for a doctor. Seconds later, the executive apparently got to feeling better and walking around. And then Biden said, so, folks, as my grandfather used to say, keep the faith. Now, this comes after a very bizarre situation in Milwaukee. Biden insulted a custard shop manager in that town after the guy gave him a free dessert. And when Biden went to pay the guy, he said, no, just lower my taxes. Whereupon, Biden called him a smartass. So maybe Biden didn't like the dessert. That's all I can think of. The custard shop owner who said, please lower my taxes, said, I guess my comment kind of set him off. I wasn't expecting the response, he said, especially from, you know, the number two in charge of our country. And then after Biden said that, he said, why don't you say something nice? Anyway, maybe Biden was in a bad mood. But the reason I brought that up is Biden has been known to put his foot in his mouth more than a few times in the course of his political career. On May 6th of this year, he was addressing the European Parliament in Belgium. And he said at that point that Brussels could be the capital of the free world. Now, the comment came at the top of a speech used to discuss the threats of nuclear proliferation, climate change, and international terrorism. Specifically, he said, as you probably know, some American politicians and American journalists refer to Washington as the capital of the free world. But it seems to me that in this great city, meaning Brussels, which boasts 1,000 years of history, and which serves as the capital of Belgium, the home of the European Union, and the headquarters for NATO, this city has its own legitimate claim to that title. And then, of course, everybody remembers back in March, after health care was passed, he thought the mic wouldn't pick this up, but he turned to President Obama and said, this is a big you-know-what deal. Starts with an F. And it blared out. Apparently, Obama must have realized what happened. Biden said later that Obama was laughing like the devil after the event. Back in March, Biden used a St. Patrick's Day celebration at the White House to honor the memory of the Irish Prime Minister's mother. The problem was she was still alive, but he thought she had died. He said, God rest her soul. And then when he was informed she was still alive, he says, wait, your mom's still alive? Oh, it was your dad who passed away. God bless his soul. He said, I got to get this straight. Well, I don't know. I guess you can bless somebody if they're still alive, can't you? They have to be dead?
Well, do you see a pattern here?
Well, the best one is one I'm going to try to find on here where he was chiding somebody for the problems with our recession, and he referred to how Franklin Roosevelt handled things when the stock market collapsed in 1929. He claimed that Roosevelt went on television at that point to sort of calm people's nerves. The problem was, well, there were a couple of problems. Number one, Roosevelt didn't take office until 4 years after the stock market crash, so Herbert Hoover was president. And number two, there was no television in 1929. There was no television in 1939. In fact, there was no television until about 1949. So he only was off there by about a generation. Where does he come up with some of his things? He seems to mean well. He just gets his foot in his mouth. In April of last year, he gave advice on dealing with swine flu that seemed to contradict President Obama's warning not to panic. He went on NBC's Today Show, and being a long Amtrak rider who has commuted for many, many years between Washington and his Delaware home, he said that he would not advise family members necessarily against going to Mexico, but he wouldn't tell them to get into any small area like a subway car, an automobile, a classroom, or an airplane. Well, that kind of limits you, especially if you can't get into an automobile. He said, I would tell members of my family, and I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places right now. And then back in July of last year, he gave a blunt summation of the administration's approach to stimulus spending. He said, people, when I say that, look at me and say, what are you talking about, Joe? You're telling me we have to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer is yes. Keep spending money, and that way you won't go bankrupt. Terrific advice. These are little things, I guess, but they're all kind of fun. During a February 2009 interview on CBS Early Show, he encouraged viewers to visit a government-run website that tracks stimulus spending so that they can see how their money is being spent. When asked for the site's address, he could not remember it. He says, you know, I'm embarrassed. Then he was asking around, do you know the website number? He said, I should have had it in front of me. You might remember when Chief Justice John Roberts was swearing in President Obama in January of 2009. He basically mocked Roberts for not getting the words out correctly in the administration of the presidential oath. And he said to He was asked after Obama asked him to administer the oath again. Biden said, "Are we doing this again?" And when Biden was told that the swearing-in was for the senior staff, not cabinet members, he said, "Well, my memory is not as good as Justice Roberts," which was kind of a put-down of Roberts. Then on Inauguration Day, he misspoke when he told a cheering crowd, "Jill," meaning his wife, "and I had the great honor of standing on the stage looking across at one of the great justices, Justice Stewart." Well, actually, it wasn't Justice Stewart, but it was Justice John Paul Stevens. In fact, Justice Potter Stewart not only was not visible to him, Justice Potter Stewart had been dead for quite a few years, so I'm beginning to think that he hallucinates too. But anyway, I know we're picking on him a little bit, but it's kind of fun to read some of the things that he said. In a town hall meeting in 2008 in New Hampshire, he said, "Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be vice president. Quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me." Well, that's actually being rather humble. At one time, he mistakenly referred to Governor Sarah Palin as the lieutenant governor of Alaska. But anyway, I know we're picking on him a little bit, but I found some of these things to be kind of interesting. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about the oil spill cleanup and a possible tropical storm out there that could affect it. So don't go away.
Of Houston, Texas, we don't only sing, but we dance just as good as we want. In Houston, we've just started a new dance called the Tighten Up. This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drum. Come on now, drummer. I want you to tighten it up for me now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The legend of Krabby Bill Loader began on the northeast coastline of this great nation of ours more than 30 years ago. Seafood lovers couldn't wait to get their claws on Krabby Bill's fresh, hand-picked crabs, oftentimes getting them right out of the back of his truck. In 1975, Krabby Bill picked up his wife and kids and moved to South Florida. Over the years, they opened several restaurants, each built around Krabby Bill's special love for fresh, no-frills, good-eating seafood. He was smart, too, and put one of his children or grandchildren in charge of each restaurant, making sure there's always a good bit of Krabby Bill around. We serve the biggest and best drinks on the beach and beyond. For starters, enjoy buffalo shrimp, fried gator, onion rings, baked oysters, clams, mussels, shrimp, and oysters, to name a few. Your favorite beach sandwich comes with complete with fries and coleslaw. Or enjoy yellowfin tuna, catfish, salmon, gulf grouper, bay scallops, stuffed flounder, mahi-mahi, lobster tails, and much, much more. Enjoy tummy-tempting combination platters also available at the Krabby Bill's on the Roundabout on Clearwater Beach.
Hey, we're glad you're listening to Freedom Works. And if you like what you're hearing, there's something you can do to help keep us on the air. You can visit our website at thefreedomworks.com and make a contribution, anything from $20 on up, and it'll go directly to our program and our efforts to get out the libertarian message of less government in our lives and more personal freedom and responsibility. And while you're there at the website, you can find out more about libertarianism. You can also take a very short quiz to see where you fit in on the political spectrum. And you can find out more about people that have stood for libertarian principles like Milton Friedman and Ayn Rand. But please consider backing our show with a contribution. We even make it easy for you with a credit or debit card. And once again, that's thefreedomworks.com. And by the way, thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Ken from Dining Out Radio. Are you tired of going to the same old restaurants? Why not listen to Dining Out Radio and we'll tell you some of the best restaurants in the Tampa Bay area. We'll have chefs on talking about their favorite dishes. We'll have wine people on talking about the greatest wines. We'll have a lot of guests on there and we might even throw in a couple of surprises. Heard every Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. You can go to our website, diningoutradio.com. Dining Out Radio brought to you by Watercolors Steakhouse and Grill.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy. Thank you very much for being with us. You know, it's interesting. I was just talking off mic with Big Ed about baseball confrontations in the dugout. We had one here in Tampa Bay between B.J. Upton, the center fielder for the Rays, and third baseman Evan Longoria, considered, I think, to be the leader of the team, had to do with hustle, or lack thereof, by B.J. Upton. They, of course, took a break yesterday, but are back. In fact, their nemesis, the Red Sox, they're back in Boston at Fenway Park today. And I guess in light and along with that, in Chicago, the Cubs' Carlos Zambrano has been suspended at least through the All-Star game, which I think is in mid to late July, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be out in California, July 13th. And again, it had to do with hustle. In this case, Zambrano was upset with his fielders behind him not diving after hard-hit ground balls. That was apparently what got him going. So there was that altercation, and there was pushing and shoving in both dugouts. I guess my question is regarding B.J. Upton, whether or not Rays manager Joe Maddon might suspend him, or at least not put him in the game to lead off the series with Boston as a way of chiding him for his lack of effort. Any thoughts there, Big Ed? Do you think he should do something like that? Got to get him back to the.
I was just going to say, if you're gonna sit him down, have somebody that can step in and make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, have somebody that you know can pick up the pace. So if they're going to do that, yeah. I would, and I would basically tell him this is your last shot because, you know.
This is not the first time that he's
hot-dogged. It's not the second time either. So, you know, at some point in the line, if this doesn't work, if he does it again, you look to trade him. But then who's going to really take him with that rap?
I don't understand his thinking. I wonder if it's something personal. Was he upset with the... with somebody, you know, of course, who knows what's going on in your mind. But he clearly allowed a guy that would probably have had a double get a triple out of it. You just wonder why he would do something like that. They pay these guys millions of dollars, and that was so obvious. It's almost like he wants to be yelled at almost. You know, you don't know what goes on in someone's mind when they do it. But I agree with you. I think if I was the manager, I'd sit him down for this first game.
But then how is he going to react after that? That's the thing. And then he becomes a cancer. Well, then he becomes a cancer in the locker room.
Sure. It's not a matter, though, of how he feels and how, you know, it's a matter of the team. And, you know, I was watching, speaking of all of that, I'm getting off subject a little bit, but there was a tribute on one of the cable stations last night to John Wooden. And they had the great Bill Russell and Bill Walton, one of his players, along with the moderator of the show. And they had, at that point, it was 10 years ago when Wooden had turned 90, and he was there. And Wooden had this way of telling people, you know, you can do whatever you want. I mean, this is a free place, and it had to do actually with Bill Walton himself, who decided to show up at the beginning of one of the years on his UCLA team with long hair and a beard, which is something that would not allow. And this was, of course, back in the, I believe, the early 70s. It was about 72 or 73, and Wooden said, "No, you can't practice with us." And whereupon Walton got very upset and said, "Well, you can't tell me whether or not I can let my hair grow long or grow my beard." He said, "No, you have every right to do that. However, I have every right to decide who's going to play." Whereupon Walton said he ran out of the gym, he got on his motorcycle or whatever it was, and he drove down to the closest barbershop he could find. And he told the guy, "Cut my hair as short as you can and get rid of this beard." And do it quick, and the guy did it, and he got back. He said he literally drove his motorcycle into the auditorium where they were practicing because he didn't want to miss a game. He didn't want to miss a practice, and therefore, if you didn't make practice, you weren't going to make the game. You know, that was Wooden's strict code, and Wooden enforced it. He said one time that some guy made one of those hot dog dunks, and Wooden never wanted any player to do anything to show up the team or anybody else. He said, Wooden apparently said, I had already pulled him out of the game before he came down back on the floor. He'd already decided to do it. So there is something to be said for maintaining discipline with a group of people, and maybe BJ's just going to have to be sat down a little bit and wait. Who knows? Who knows? Well, monthly report on U.S. consumer confidence just came out. It was released this morning. It shows a sharp decline in June from May, which has reversed a three-month increase as Americans digested a bunch of unsettling news reports that raised new concerns about the health of our economy. Now, it's a closely watched thing. It's the U.S. Consumer Confidence Index. And not that numbers mean anything, but the reading for June is about 53. It's down from 63 in May. It measures how shoppers feel about business conditions, the job market, and the next 6 months. So apparently they're not too optimistic about it. A reading above 90, and again, this is at 53, a reading above 90 indicates the economy is on solid footing. If it's above 100, strong growth. And economists apparently watch these numbers closely because consumer spending, including health care and other major items, account for about 70% of U.S. economic activity. Well, finally, Quebec media mogul Pierre Pelladeau has announced that they're going to launch a Fox News North, a conservative 24-hour news channel in Canada. Well, they finally are going to get something conservative up there. Most of all their stations are very, very liberal. So welcome to the new conservative news station in Canada. Well, thanks very much, my friends. Freedom Works. We're going to be back at you on Thursday. Have a good day.
Hi, everybody. I'm Archie Bell with the Trails of Houston, Texas.